The Africa Report.
Bonjour, Monsieur Jean-Jacques. How are you doing this morning?
Bonjour, Abs. I'm immensely well, eh?
Bonjour. You know, Monsieur, I'm so frustrated this morning to have to listen to a video or a recording of a police woman where we're always encouraging people to go out and report crimes in South Africa. And you get to the police station, the constable, the sergeant, whatever you want to call her. In fact, I don't even want to give her a rank. She's busy sorting out her own DSTV. What is that? What nonsense is that?
The problem is it drags down the name of all those policemen who serve.
And that's the thing.
Tirelessly and diligently. I mean, it really is not good enough, and something has to be done. And she has to be disciplined there.
To top it all off, there's also some that are sitting around her laughing. I'm saying it's not just her. We should be getting a disciplinary. All of them that were in uniform listening to something like that and doing nothing about it. But nonetheless, we're talking Africa, Jean-Jacques. Mali, what's the latest coming out of there?
Well, the security situation there has plummeted. You know, Mali, of course, is the most difficult peacekeeping operation on the planet at the moment, and we have 100% increase in Islamist attacks in the past 4 months against the peacekeepers and local troops. In June, 75 times they were attacked. That's the French, the Malian, and the United Nations forces. Now, what the Security Council is saying that they're going to need more help for that regional force, that's the Malians, Burkina Faso, Chadians, Mauritanians, and Nigerians. They need more money to fight this group, which is, of course, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. And we also had the word there that the top military commander, Dutch military commander, has resigned over the deaths of two Dutch soldiers killed in Mali last year. It's a situation, as I say, it's considered to be the most dangerous peacekeeping operation on earth, and something has to be done. We did this effort to get the Sahel force fighting jihadis is a laudable one, and it took some work to get it past, say, the United States, who didn't want to fund more peacekeepers. But they've really got to now put their lives on the line and get the work done to fight jihadism in Mali, which was split in half by it 2-3 years ago before France intervened.
And we talk about British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, who's never one to shy away from controversy.
Well, you know, and he looks for it. You know, he, like me, is a journalist, and you know, sometimes we say things that we really should have thought about. Sometimes we say things for effect. You say things to amuse. But, you know, here's a guy, he goes to Libya, and Sirte, the birthplace of Muammar Gaddafi along the coast, was built into a capital by Muammar Gaddafi. And frankly speaking, I remember writing a piece saying so there's so much more that could be going for Sirte. It really should be better marketed because it's a very beautiful place. Well, of course, Boris Johnson takes it a step further and he says they're going to make it the new Dubai if they can just clear away the bodies. Well, I mean, you know, that there has been some fighting in Sirte, in fact, very bitter fighting. But to make that kind of remark, he's been taken to task for being crass, callous, and cruel. He's simply saying, look, I was really just talking about the need for optimism and that the potential for Sirte is so much more, the potential for all of Libya is so much more. But even some of his conservative colleagues are saying, no, that's too much, and are calling for his head. They're saying this man just doesn't think, doesn't engage his brain before he lets his mouth run off.
And Rwanda's oppositions, what is the latest happening with them?
You know, Diane Rwigara, tough young, well, she's an accountant by profession, but she tried to fight the last elections, and she was stopped from doing that, the last elections where Paul Kagame won 99% of the vote. It wasn't really an election, it was a coronation. And there's been charges of rigging, obviously, against him by some of the Western observers who were there. But just to show that you don't want to become the enemy of Paul Kagame, porn pictures, especially doctored pictures of Diane Rwigara, were put on the net. She was arrested twice. Now she has actually been charged with inciting insurrection, and her mother Adeline and her sister Anne charged with her. The opposition obviously saying, well, we're not expecting anything. We expected nothing less of Kagame. He really is a very ruthless man and fights and comes against his opposition, you know, pulling nothing back. So we wait to see what happens on this trial. He's had it before. Victoire Ndagabire was also charged and even jailed. So, you know, you stand against this man at your peril.
As we talk about that, Monsieur Jean-Jacques Konish, one of the things that I was very interested in, we always look at some of the things that are happening within the African continent. And very quickly, you know, the EU is always a point for me that I'd like to discuss and talk about. One of the things that we've seen over time and time over again, we get these preachers, foreign ministers that are coming in and saying whatever it is that they want to say. But you also find that the EU continues to be a toothless, how should I say, body that cannot do anything to these individuals, because at the end of the day, we had President Jacob Zuma also at the UN saying that at the end of the day, we still need the United Nations and the rest of the world to help the African Union. So we've got a body that wants to be a standalone body and make its own decisions, but also once again, that continues to go out to the international market and kneeling down and begging for, you know, for supplies.
Yeah, of course they would reject that terminology very much. You know, they're saying they would never beg for supplies and never compromise themselves. But at the end of the day, they cannot operate completely independently. The AU simply can't. It has to be have the other organizations pick up the tab, certainly for peacekeeping operations and others. They're trying to become completely independent, certainly in terms of development and so on, and have all the countries there. But, you know, that's the thing. Every one of the African countries don't pay their dues. And that's why they have to go with, we use the phrase begging bowl, you and I, but the African Union would reject that very, very, very strongly, saying they're trying to work towards African solutions to African problems. But even this Sahel force, has to be financed from abroad, because they can't do it. Certainly the countries of the Sahel and the rest of Africa would not have the means to come in and help them fight jihadism in that very dangerous part of the world.
You know what, Monsieur Jean-Jacques Konish, merci beaucoup. À la semaine prochaine. Yes.
À la semaine prochaine, mon vieux.
Thank you so much for that. And to you listening at home, by the way, this is me trying to learn French, and Jean-Jacques has been kind enough to give me one or two classes, so at least I know now how to greet properly in French, and I know how to say we chat again tomorrow, and how to say à la semaine prochaine, which means we chat next week. Yes, that's the one. 21